Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa Conference Call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Hari Parshad Prabhu to enlighten us on Sri Padyavali. So today is the second session. So Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable association and time to all of us. Now I would like to hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, dear devotees, my pranams to all of you. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for kindly assembling here once again for our second session on Sri Padyavali of Srila Rupa Goswami. We will begin by chanting Mangalacharan. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Soyam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Barijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashchatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurdvishay Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpati Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishvanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivedanta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So welcome dear devotees, all. Should I say welcome dear aspiring drunkards to our session on Sri Padyavali. And yesterday we saw various verses by various authors who are intoxicated in Krishna prema. And today we are trying to explore further ahead in Sri Padyavali, trying to see further more verses by some more authors. So, to give a quick summary of what happened yesterday, Srila Rupa Goswami introduced Padyavali. And in this introduction, Srila Rupa Goswami said, Padyavali Rachita Rasikai Mukhopadhyay, that it has been created by various connoisseurs in for the pleasure of Krishna. And it is Mukhopadhyay Sambandha Bandhura Pada. Pramodor Misindhu. And it can give rise to waves of ecstatic joy. And Ramya is nicely composed in various meters. Samasta Tamasam Damani. And it can suppress the influences of all the modes of ignorance. Kramena Samgrahyate. Now it is being sequentially arranged by Srila Rupa Goswami, the compiler, for Kriti Kadambaka Kautukaya, for the amazement and pleasure of groups of like-minded devotees, intelligent devotees. So last verse that we studied was verse number 7, which is, we had a courtroom and there were 6 witnesses standing in the courtroom. And we were discussing why these six witnesses have suddenly come today to the courtroom. They have come to defend Lord Hari. And their defense was that he is the only person worthy of being served in the three worlds. Now, we will move ahead to the next verse. And we will see, this is verse number 8. And verse number 8. Is Shri Dakshinatyasya Shardul Vikriditam. So the author is Shri Dakshinatya. Dakshinatya means somebody who is born in southern part of India. That is Dakshinatya. And Shardul Vikriditam. Shardul Vikriditam means this meter is Shardul Vikriditam. Some people say Dakshinatya refers to Shri Gopal Bhatt Goswami, but there is no clear evidence of this. So Dakshinatya can be any author or any devotee poet born in southern part of India. Srila Gopal Bhatt Goswami was also born in southern part of India. So there is a devotee poet named Dakshinatya, and this is his verse in the meter, Shardul Vikriditam. Yesterday, most of us have recited Shardul Vikriditam together. Today, let's recite this verse together.
व्यासाचरणं ध्रुवस्य च वयो विद्यागजेन्द्रस्य का कुब्जायाहि मुरामरूपमधिकं कीर्तन्तुतां नो धनं वंशः को विदुरस्य यादवपदे गुप्तस्य किम्पौरुषम्
So, this is Lord Krishna's Bhakta Vatsalyam, that Lord Krishna's benedictions to his devotees. It is also Bhakte Mahatmyam, that what are the glories of devotional service. So, the glories of devotional service are being explained by asking various rhetorical questions. A rhetorical question is a question whose answer is already known to us. So the answer to all these questions are already known to us. Shri Dakshinatya begins by asking all of us drunkards one important question. What is the important question? Vyadhasya acharanam. Kim. We have to add kim. What was the acharan? Acharan means sadachar. Sadachar means good quality or good behavior of vyad. Now, vyad means a hunter. And there are many vyadas described in the various shastras. So, according to different interpreters, the vyad refers to various entities. Some interpreters say vyad means dharma vyad. Now, dharma vyad was a particular personality whom our acharyas have described. Srila Jiva Goswami, while commenting upon Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter number 12, verse number 3 to 6, has explained who is this Vyadha. Jiva Goswami says, Vyadho dharma Vyadha, Shudro Antyajopi. So, Vyadh means Dharma Vyadh. He is basically Antyaja. He is even lower than the Shudra in the caste system. He says, Atra Adi Varahe Katheyam. In the Adi Varaha Puran, his narration is described. Jiva Goswami says, in a certain Kali Yuga of a previous day of Lord Brahma, there was a Vaishnav king whose name was Vasu. And Vasu, as usually as kings are taught how to hunt in the forest because they have to fight enemies on the battlefield. So this Vasu was also one day hunting in the forest as target practice and mistaking a Brahmana for a particular animal. This king Vasu shot an arrow and he ended up killing the Brahmana. So, This particular Brahmana, due to being killed in such a horrible way, he became a Brahma Rakshas. And this King Vasu, he was unaware that he has killed a particular Brahmana who has turned into a Brahma Rakshas or a ghost, the worst kind of ghost as described in Shastra. So when King Vasu left his body, he went to what is known as Prapanchik Vaikuntha. Now what is Prapanchik Vaikuntha? This is a very interesting concept. Sometimes in Shastra, it is described that when if we pay obeisances even once to the deity, we will attain Vaikuntha. If we contribute even a single brick to the construction of a temple, Bhagavan is constructing an entire house for us in Vaikuntha. All these are described in various Shastras. So does it mean that I simply put one brick in the construction of a temple, then stop worrying about my bhajan? Because if I have put a brick in the temple, that means I am going back home, back to Godhead. Krishna has to construct a home for me. So Srila Jiva Goswami answers this particular point in his Bhakti Sandarbha. Srila Jiva Goswami says that there is a Vaikuntha even within this material world. For example, Dhruva stays in a planet called Dhruva Loka, which has the exact same characteristics as Vaikuntha planets. And this Vaikuntha within the material world, since it is within the Prapancha or the material world, this Vaikuntha within the Prapancha or within the material world is known as Prapanchik Vaikuntha. So what is the purpose of this Prapanchik Vaikuntha? Purpose is very simple. When somebody who has committed some Bhakti Sukruti means he has executed some act of devotion, but he has not completely attained Krishna Prem, that particular person, in order to fulfill the prophecies given in the scriptures, that because he has paid obeisances to the cart of Lord Jagannath even once, he will go to Prapanchik Vaikuntha. So that person for some time goes to Prapanchik Vaikuntha. He sees Prapanchik Vaikuntha for some duration of time, and then he has to take another devotee birth. And then in that devotee birth, that particular person continues their bhakti. And going back home, back to Godhead in Vaikuntha planets in the spiritual world, that is only for somebody who has attained prema. Without attaining the mature stage of prema or love of Godhead, it is not possible for anybody to go back home, back to Godhead in the spiritual world. They may for some time go to Prapanchik Vaikuntha and come back and continue their bhakti, but it is not possible for them to go eternally to the spiritual world unless they have prema. Proof for this is given in Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 5th chapter, verse number 6, 5.5.6, where Lord Rishabhdev says, Pritirna Yavan Mai Vasudeve Na Muchyate Deha Yogena Tavat. Pritirna Yavat. As long as one does not have Priti, Mai Vasudeve, in Vasudev, who is non-different from me, Na Muchyate Deha Yogena Tavat. Till that point of time, one is not, certainly not freed from having to accept a material body again and again. So in order to go back home, back to Godhead, the Siddhanta should be very clear in our minds. Unless we have Priti or Bhagavat Prem, there is absolutely no possibility that one will be able to go back home, back to Godhead. Going to the spiritual world is only for those who have very firm prema established within their hearts for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And somebody may say, no, my guru is very merciful, my acharyas are very merciful, they will take me back home, back to Godhead. So even if they are very merciful, first and foremost, we have to get prema before we can go back home, back to Godhead. This we have to understand. Why? See, Bharat Maharaj, his guru was Lord Rishabhdev, Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Nobody can get such a guru in this age of Kali Yuga. But even though he has such an elevated and supremely merciful Guru, still on the stage of bhav he experienced a certain attachment to material life. So for this reason, even from the stage of bhav he had to accept some more births, two more births, in order to finally attain prema and finally attain perfection. So this siddhanta should be very clear to us. Although our guru is most merciful, although our parampara is most merciful, we have to attain the stage of prema in order to go back home to God. So continuing this dharma vyar, so that king Vasu, he accidentally saw a brahmana drinking water on a river, and mistaking that brahmana for an animal, he shot an arrow at that brahmana, killed that brahmana. Now anybody who gets killed in a very violent way may end up becoming a rakshas, brahma rakshas, a ghost. That brahmana, his ill fate was that he had to suffer as a brahma rakshas for some time. But when this Vasu left his body, since he was a Vaishnava king, he had performed lots of devotional service, King Vasu was going to go to Prapanchik Vaikuntha. At that time, this Brahma Rakshas, due to the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, entered into his body. And along with this king, this Brahma Rakshas went to Prapanchik Vaikuntha. Now, since he went to Prapanchik Vaikuntha, he got to see Lord Vishnu and all the great devotees of Lord Vishnu who were staying in Prapanchik Vaikuntha. After King Vasu's time in Prapanchik Vaikuntha was over, King Vasu again took birth as a devotee somewhere. But this particular Brahma Rakshas also, he took birth as what is known as a Dharma Vyad. Dharma Vyad means a hunter. He took birth in a hunter family, or a family which kills animals. But he became a completely non-violent person in a family of hunters. So that is Dharma Vyad. And he became completely detached from all sorts of violence. And he finally went to Jagannath Puri, Neelachal. And he spoke a very nice stava for Lord Jagannath, who is residing at Neelachal. And by that, hearing that stava, Lord Jagannath, within his heart or within his dream, it is said, Lord Jagannath came and embraced him. That particular night, he left his body and he attained liberation. So this is the story of Vyad. So this is Dharma Vyad. So I wanted to narrate this story because in this verse, Vyad has been mentioned. So let's come back to the Padyavali verse. He says, Vyadhasyacharanam kim. What was the good behavior of Vyad? Actually, he was a Brahmana who had been killed by Vasu and then attained Prapanchik Vaikuntha along when Vasu was going to Prapanchik Vaikuntha. And he just had some bhakti due to the association of Vasu. And then he took birth in a family of hunters. And you know, what was his Acharan? Did he himself have anything, any Vaishnavism within him? The answer is no. It's a rhetorical question. Dhruvasya Chavayo. Within our heart, we should immediately see Dhruva Maharaj and see what is his Vayas. Vayas means what is his age. His age is 5 years. And Baba, for doing anything nice in one's life or accomplishing anything nice in one's life, one needs to have youth. Any tapasya, any austerity, any vidya, any education, any accomplishments in life are mostly attained during one's youth. So when somebody says that a person does not have good age or is not mature in age, that means they are not capable of any accomplishments in human form of life. Dhruvasya Chavayo, or what we call as child wonders. Some people become child wonders. In their childhood, suddenly they develop some extreme skill. So Dhruvasya Chavayo, did Dhruva have any vayas or any particular maturity of age? It's a rhetorical question again. Answer is no. Vidya Gajendrasya kya? Does Gajendra, king of elephants, have any vidya? or does he have any knowledge? Somebody may say, oh, he had the knowledge to recite verses to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But that is bhakti vidya. Did he have any other form of laukik vidya or any other form of scriptural knowledge besides his bhakti?
No.
Did he study Vedanta?
No.
Did he study Nyaya, Mimamsa, grammar or any other fields of knowledge? Answer is no, because he is born in Swargaloka. Swargaloka is Bhogyoni. Bhogyoni means you simply enjoy there. Brihaspati has created a different philosophy for Swargaloka. Only in the human form of life, one is supposed to go to the office and work. Even animals don't go to office and work. Because Krishna has made arrangement for all other species of life. But only humans have to work hard. In Bhagavad Gita, it says, Karmanu Bandini Manushya Loke. This karma bandhan is only in Manushya Loka. It's not in Swargalok, neither in lower species of life. All other species of life are Bhogyoni, where one enjoys or suffers the result of the activities committed previously in human form of life. Similarly, Gajendra was simply enjoying life in heavenly planets with his family. There is no question of education. Because this education, working, doing one's karma, that is only for human beings. Karmanu bandini manushya loke. So human beings work hard because they have to attain newer form of karma. Vidya Gajendrasya ka? Did Gajendra have any vidya? Again a rhetorical question. No. He did not have any vidya. Kubjaya kimu nama rupam. Nama. Tell us. Did Kubja have any rupa? Any beauty? So in 10th canto, Kubja's pastime is described. Kubja was a hunchback lady. She was staying in Mathura and she developed amorous attraction for our Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Did she have any... good bodily form? Answer is no. See, this bodily form is actually never good, no matter how pristine and how beautiful it looks. This bodily form is actually full of ignorance. Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, Sharir avidya jam. Body is a network of ignorance. No matter how beautiful, polished and pristine it may appear on the outside, we should never fall into thinking that this body is extremely beautiful. Or anybody else's body is extremely beautiful. Body is like milk. Today it appears very pristine. Just leave it outside for 1 or 2 days, it starts rotting in due to the influence of the environment. So this body is like that. The human body is like milk. It may appear very pristine and brilliant in its youth, but immediately within old age it becomes extremely disgusting. So, Kubjaya kimu nama rupam? Did Kubja have any bodily form? Or did she have any bodily beauty? Answer is no. Again, rhetorical question. Adikam, and tell us, kim tat sudamno dhanam? Did Sudama have any wealth with him? No. Sometimes, we like to say that, you know, only those who are wealthy can actually render proper service to Krishna. Unless we become wealthy, how can we render proper service to Krishna? Srila Prabhupada also had this idea previously in his life. In his Grihastha Ashram, he said, I was thinking I will earn lot of wealth. Then I will use that wealth to propagate bhakti or devotional service throughout the entire world. So Srila Prabhupada had a very nice business. And it was a pharmaceutical business. But Krishna's arrangement was something else. Krishna's arrangement was that in his old age he should go with rupees 40 to the United States of America. This was his arrangement. So, kim tat sudamno dhanam? Did Sudama have any wealth? Answer is no. Sudama did not have any wealth. This is a rhetorical question again. Vamshah ko vidurasya? Did Vidur have any high lineage? Was he born in a Brahman parivar, Brahma kul? Answer is no. He is not born in a Brahmin family, not born in Brahma Kul. He is born by Vyasadev in one of the maid servants of King Vichitra Virya. And Therefore, since his mother is Dasi, therefore Vidur became popularly known as Dasi Putra. It is Shudra, according to Shastras, traditional Shastra, he born in a Shudra family. And this is the reason why he was always looked down upon by all the members of the Kauravas. Although Pandavas who were Vaishnavas never treated him in that manner. Because Vaishnava understand, yasya yal lakshanam, that if a particular person may be born in a particular family, but if he shows the characteristics of another particular Varna, then that person should be given that respect of belonging to that another Varna. So even though Vidur is born in the family of Dasi, maid servant, still, since Vidur has an intelligence of that of a Brahmana, he has a disposition of a Brahmana, the Pandavas were treating him exactly like they would treat a Brahmana. But still, from a purely seminal birth point of view, the rhetorical question is being asked, Vamshah ko Vidurasya? Did Vidur have any Vamsha, any high lineage? Answer is no. And Yadava Pater Ugrasya Kim Paurusham? Did Ugrasen, or what we call Agrasen, have any, is Yadava Pati, he was lord of the Yadavas, did he have any strength with him? He was put into jail by his very own son Kamsa. Today if we go to Mathura, Vrindavan, we say Agrasen Chowk. There is a street named Agrasen Chowk where there is a big statue of Maharaj Agrasen on the street. So when I saw that, this came to my mind. You are building a big statue. But Shastra says, Ugrasya Kim Paurusham. He did not have any strength. Statue should be built of personalities who demonstrated immense strength in or immense capabilities in their life. What capabilities did Ugrasen demonstrate in his life? So all these personalities, whether it is Dharma Vyad, it is Dhruva, it is Gajendra, it is Kubja, it is Sudama, Vidur, Ugrasen, all these people did not have the above mentioned qualities. Still all of them got a direct darshan of Lord Shri Krishna, and all of them were able to perfect their lives. What did they attain which others did not attain? What speciality did they have with them that others did not have? So many people have so many good qualities in the world, but they are not able to become devotees. And sometimes a ruffian ends up becoming a devotee. Why is it that this happens? So the answer is given in the final line. Bhaktya tushyati kevalam nacha punair. Lord is pleased only by bhaktya, by pure bhakti, nacha gunair, not by so-called material qualities. By bhakti priyo madhava. Our madhava is bhakti priya. He is very fond of bhakti devi. Wherever she goes, to whomsoever place she manifests, he becomes very attracted to her. One of the qualities of Bhakti Devi mentioned in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Uttama Bhakti, one of her qualities is that Sri Krishna Karshini, she immediately attracts Lord Krishna. So Lord Krishna is also attracted to all these particular living entities, even though they don't have any material qualities with them. So sometimes, should we apply this verse in real life? So sometimes we may see that a particular devotee does not have any so-called material opulences in their life or does not have any material achievements in their life. But that person has an intelligence which is fixed in Lord Krishna. If such a person has an intelligence which is firmly fixed in Lord Krishna, so that itself is their achievement in life. Because such fixed intelligence in Krishna is a product of birth after birth worshipping Krishna. This is said by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapadyate vasudevam sarvam iti samahatma sudurlabha. Somebody has this firmly fixed consciousness in Bhagavan, they may not be having a good family birth. They may be born in a family which is considered to be lowly according to Shastra. But we should give them respect as we give respect to a Brahmana. They may not be having much Shastric education. They may not be learned in Shastra. But they know all the conclusions of Shastra. And their intelligence is fixed in Bhagavan. So they may not have all of these qualities. Some of them may be very poor, may not have sufficient wealth with them. Whether they are rich or poor or whatever condition of life they are in, as long as their minds are firmly fixed in Lord Krishna and they have bhakti in them, Lord Krishna will be attracted to them. So this is the practical implementation of this particular verse. When we see others who have no good qualities, we should not immediately disrespect them. Sri Ramanujacharya says in his Prapannamrita, chapter number 65, Vaishnavanam cha janmani nidralasyani kani cha drishvatani aprakashyani janebhyona vadet pachit tesham doshan vihay ashu gunams chaiva prakirtayet. He says, Vaishnavanam cha janmani nidra alasyani yani cha. If a Vaishnav has low birth, if he sleeps too much, or if he has alasya, lazy, or any other bad qualities, drishtva tani aprakashyani. If one sees such qualities in a Vaishnav, one should never speak of those qualities to other people. One should never speak to a third person. Because in Shastra it is said, Shatkarnat Vidyate Mantraha. Any secret, as soon as it reaches 6 years, it becomes a public fact. First and foremost, that Vaishnav himself knows that I am lazy or I sleep too much. So this secret is between his 2 ears. Then you see it. Then it comes between 2 years, 4 years. And as soon as you speak to somebody, that secret is now between 6 years. And Chanakya Pandit says, Shat Karnat Vidyate Mantra. As soon as a particular secret reaches 6 years, it is no longer a secret. So, never speak of the bad qualities of a Vaishnava to anyone. Janebhyona vadet kvachit, and by mistake also don't speak of it in a public assembly. Public assembly, so definitely we should never speak of. Tesham doshan vihaya, giving up their bad qualities. Ashu gunams chaiva prakirtayet, one should glorify their good qualities. So one is not allowed to see the bad qualities of another Vaishnav as long as one is not their guru. If one is their guru, one can instruct them privately. Because a guru instructing a disciple privately is still remaining within 4 years. It does not go to 6 years. So this thing we have to understand. If we read entire Chaitanya Charitamrita, we read the works of the 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan, in the entire works of Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Jeev Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, Gopal Bhatt Goswami, we don't find criticism of a single Vaishnav. And we can try to think as hard as we want. In all the works of the 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan, there is no criticism of a single Vaishnav. So if they have set such a precedent, then we should definitely try to follow in their footsteps. Alright, let's read the translation of this verse. Translation. Where was Vyasa's piety, Dhruva's maturity, and Gajendra's knowledge? Where was Kubja's beauty? Where was Sudama's wealth? Where was Vidura's noble birth? Where was Ugrasen's chivalrous strength? Lord Madhav is pleased only by devotional service and not by material qualifications. So we'll move ahead to the next verse. We can see in our Padyavali printout. Next verse is Kasyachit. Kasyachit means it is by an anonymous author. As I said yesterday, many times authors prefer to remain anonymous. Why? The reason for remaining anonymous is it is better not to self-advertise one's glories too much. Why so? Sometimes some basic advertisement may be needed to inform people that yes, there is some program here, sir, there is some program being conducted there. But too much beating of one's own trumpet, or too much playing of one's own trumpet, of one's own glories, is not recommended in Shastra. Reason is dharma kshrati kirtanat. Acharya say that one's dharma is gradually lost when one starts glorifying oneself. So the more one glorifies oneself, more one projects oneself, the lesser possibility that such a person is actually closer to dharma. Dharma kshrati kirtanat. By kirtan, by self-advertisement, dharma is lost. So, let's see the next verse. This is Shardul Vikriditam. And this verse is in the same meter, Shardul Vikridit. I will sing. Those of you who know this meter by now, most of us know this meter. So, all of us drunkards can sing this meter once again together.
Right. Prabhu, if you have any questions regarding the verse, you should ask at the end.
Yeah, any questions about the verse, we can keep it in our mind. And at the end of the session, we have almost half an hour to speak those questions and answers. So let's see this verse number 11 from Padyavali.
Kashayana cha bhojanadi niyamanno vavare vasato vyakyanadata vamuni vratavarat chittodbhava kshiyate kintu sita kalinda shailadanaya तीरेषु विक्रीडतो गोविन्दस्य पदारविन्द भजनारम्भस्य लेशादपि.
So this is verse in Shardul Vikridit meter. There are many ways of singing one meter. So you can sing the same verse in another tune also. In our childhood, in our school, they used to teach another way of singing the same meter.
काशायान च भोजनादि नियमान नो वावने वासतो व्याख्यानादथ वामुनि व्रतभरात् चित्तोद्भव क्षीयते किन्तु स्मितगलिन्दशैलतनया तीरेषु विक्रीडतो गोविन्दस्य पदारविन्दभजना रंभस्य लेशादपि.
So same verse can be, same meter can be sung in two or three different ways. So we will see what this particular anonymous poet is trying to tell us. This poet is trying to tell us, dear devotees, all of us are trying to follow four regulative principles. But there is one regulative principle which is extremely difficult to follow for all of us. And that regulative principle this poet knows. Which regulative principle is that? This is the fourth regulative principle, which is no illicit sex. So this poet knows very well that Cupid or Kamadev always tries to attack the unsuspecting devotee and tries to make them fall a victim into the trap of lust. Now some devotee in their initial enthusiasm may say, I will defeat Kamadev by becoming a brahmachari. Our poet smiles and says, please wait, dear devotee, please hear me out. He says, Kashayana. No, not by Kashay. Kashay is orange colored cloth. Kashayana. Sorry, you were mistaken, dear devotee. Simply by wearing orange cloth, if Cupid or Kamadev would have been destroyed, all the aspiring sadhus would have worn orange cloth and destroyed Kamadev. Kamadev has special attraction for orange colored cloth wearing people. Kashayana. It is not possible. Nacha bhojanadi niyaman. You may think that I will restrict my bhojan, my diet. Adi. I will restrict other things, my sleep, my sleeping pattern, my eating pattern, I will regulate. If I eat less, I will have less energy. If I have less energy, then I will have less enthusiasm for lust. So then immediately this cupid will be conquered for me. He said, Nacha bhojanadi niyaman. Sorry, dear sadhak, dear devotee, sorry, it is not possible like this. Okay, then I will try something else. I will go to the forest, do vanvas. Because I am staying here in Atlanta, therefore I have this problem. Or because I am staying in Mumbai, I have this problem. Or because I am staying in a respective city, I have a problem. Whichever city I am staying in. And Kamdev is very active in all the cities. We can see everywhere around us. So even if they have to promote an airline ticket, they will have a beautiful girl promoting an airline. You know, come visit our airlines. You will have a complimentary, beautiful air hostess waiting to welcome you. So they are using Cupid shamelessly as a tactic to attract people due to their tendency for lust. Somebody may say, I will go to forest. If I become a forest dweller, there are many forest dwellers here in the US of it. That there are many people who don't prefer to live in the city. No, we will go to the forest. Aray, but Kamdev will faithfully follow you to the forest. No problem. He will be your most faithful companion even in the forest. No va vane vasato, he says. Not by staying alone in the forest. No, it is not possible. Vyakhyanat. And somebody may say, oh, big brahmachari is coming to town and he is giving a lecture on how to be a nice brahmachari. I will attend. And I will also become a nice brahmachari. He says, no, not by vyakhyan. Not by any elaborate lectures on brahmachari life will you be able to conquer Cupid. No, definitely not. Athava muni vrata bharat. Or you may take muni vrata, mauna vrata. Complete silence. I will cut off all communication from society. I will become completely silent in life. No talking to girls, no talking to boys, no talking to anybody. So then I will become completely free from lust. No, no. Chittodbhava. He has used a specific term here. Chittodbhava. Chitta means heart. Udbhava means arising of lust within the heart. Chitta udbhava or udbhava, arising of lust within the heart. Nakshiyate. It does not stop simply by doing all these things. Not by wearing saffron cloth, not by restricting diet, etc. These things don't stop. There is one famous Sanskrit verse which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers wrote to Prakashanand Saraswati. He said that a lion eats red meat, but his mating season is only once in a year. Whereas a pigeon eats only grains, particles of grains. But pigeon's mating is once every day. Tell me. If food is the only cause of arising of lust, then why is it that the lion's mating season is only once a year, whereas the pigeon's mating season is every day, 24 hours? Tell us. So it is not possible like this. Those who want to conquer their lust like this, they have not understood. So this verse is what I call a neti neti verse. Not this, not this, not this, not this, not this, not this, not this. If you just keep saying not this, not this, not this, you are becoming a part of the problem, dear sir. You are not becoming a part of the solution. Give us some solution. So solution is given third line onwards. Kintu, but, and our hope is hanging on this kintu. He said kintu, but, Sita kalinda shail tanaya tireshu. This is one single word. Sita kalinda shail tanaya tireshu. So sita means very wide. In our heart we have to draw a painting here now. From third line onwards, we have to start drawing a painting. Kintu svita. There is wide Kalinda Shaila. There is one mountain named Kalinda Mountain, and he is known as Kalinda Shaila. Shaila means mountain, And Tanaya means his daughter. Daughter of Kalinda mountain is Kalindi. And we know who is Kalindi? Yamuna. So Svita Yamuna Tireshu. Svita means broad. Yamuna Tira means banks of Yamuna. On the broad Svita Tireshu, banks of Kalinda Shaila Tanaya, or daughter of Kalinda, that is Yamuna. On the broad banks of Yamuna, Vikridato. There is somebody playing around, somebody sporting around. Who is sporting around on the wide banks of Yamuna? Govindasya Padaravinda, at his lotus feet, bhajan arambha. If we even do arambha, even do a genuine start of bona fide bhajan, bona fide service with love and attachment, not mechanical service. Bona fide service with love and attachment is given to the lotus feet of Lord Govinda. Bhajan arambha. Arambha means even if we begin and forget about arambha, arambhasya leshat, if even a fraction of that beginning, lesh of that beginning, or a fraction of the beginning of bhajan, genuine bhajan towards the lotus feet of Govinda, api. Even if that genuine fraction of bhajan towards Govinda is there, immediately Kamadeva or Cupid within the heart will be destroyed.
Haribo.
This is the conclusion of the anonymous author. Rup Goswami likes this conclusion. We have to understand. Why Rup Goswami likes this conclusion? It's because it is a long-lasting, eternally established fact. We don't become a pure devotee by simply becoming a brahmachari. Or yes, we can, any brahmachari can also be a pure devotee. But not simply because of his brahmacharya or simply because of his celibacy. In our society of devotees, we should learn to respect all ashram. Brahmachari ashram, grihastha ashram, vanaprastha ashram, sannyas ashram. In our Panchatattva, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vas, these are Panchatattva, majority are Grihasthas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Sannyasi, Nityananda Prabhu is Grihastha, Advaita Acharya is Grihastha, Gadadhar Pandit is Sannyasi, and Sri Vas is Grihastha. So out of five, three are Grihasthas. So from the very beginning in our devotee society, majority have been Grihasthas. So since majority have been Grihasthas, we have to understand Grihastha is also ashram. Brahmachari, ashram. Grihastha, ashram. Vanaprastha, ashram. Sannyas, ashram. What is meaning of ashram? There are two meanings. One is shelter, ashray. This is one popular meaning, that all of them are places of shelter. And another meaning of ashram is a means samyak, all round, shram, hard work. In all of these four, there is immense hard work involved. Brahmachari also, there is immense hard work. They have to surrender themselves to their authorities, work under their direction, be humble, serve the other guests. Grihastha is definitely an ashram, we all know. There is all round hard work involved in Grihastha ashram. Vanaprastha, we have to stop earning and depend only on the society. And we have to roam around everywhere in the world, around the various forests especially. And sannyas is definitely an ashram. Sannyas means there is no privacy for the individual. They have to continuously keep traveling, can't stay at one place, can't call any place as their home. That is sannyas. So all four are places of immense hard work, and we should respect all of them. So Kamadev can arise in any particular person belonging to any ashram. We have to understand this thing. This mature understanding should be there within us. But only a person who has genuinely begun his bhajan towards the lotus feet of Lord Govinda, only for that person is Kamadev stopped. Not for any other person. No, sorry sir. If anybody else thought of any other idea, time is a big teacher. Time will prove to them that their ideas were mistaken. This is the only correct idea which works. All right. Let's move to the next verse, verse number 17. This is Kasyachit, again anonymous author. Shikharini. Shikharini is another meter, which is same meter as Sri Jagannath Ashtakam. So I will, this is a difficult to sing meter. I will try to sing it. Please, you can sing with me if you know, or you can simply listen to me singing. Chaturnam Vedanam Hridayamidam Agrishya Harinam Chaturbhir Yadvarnai Sputam Aghati Narayana Padam Tade Tad Gayanto Vayamanesha Madmana Madhuna Punimo janimo nahari pari toshaya kimapi. So this is Shikharini meter, Jagannath Ashtakam meter. Kasyachit, anonymous author again says, we have to now start drawing the painting in the heart. Chaturnam Vedanam. There are four Vedas. Can we see those four Vedas in our heart? Yes. Which is the first Veda? Rig Veda. The second Veda is Sam Veda. Third Veda is Yajur Veda. Fourth Veda is Atharva Veda. He says, Chaturnam Vedanam. From these four Vedas, Hridayam, their essence of all the four Vedas, Akrishya, was extracted. The essence of all these four Vedas was extracted. By whom? Harina. By Lord Hari himself. Lord Hari himself extracted the essence of all these four Vedas. Within our heart we should see. And what did he do? Chaturbhir Yad Varnai. And he created four alphabets out of these four Vedas. Acha? Which alphabets did he create? Sutam Aghati, clearly he created four alphabets. What are they? Na, Ra, Ya, Na. These four alphabets are created by extracting the essence or the heart of the four Vedas. Na, Ra, Ya, Na. Narayana Padam. Narayana, this word was created by extracting the essence of all the four Vedas. Author says, Tadetad Gayanto Vayam. Now we are spending our entire time singing only this name. Anisham. Day and night we are singing this name. Atmanam Adhuna Punimo. Now this is our only way for cleansing our Atma. Punimo. Now we are cleansing our soul simply by repeating these four syllables. Narayana. Narayana. We are repeating these names and we are cleansing our hearts. Janimo na, and we don't know Hari Paritoshaya Kimapi, any other means of satisfying Lord Hari. In other words, we have given up our dependence on the original four Vedas and now we are busy chanting the names of Lord Narayan in order to satisfy Him completely. His glories of the holy name. Very nicely explained. We will read the translation. Extracting the essence of the heart of the four Vedas, the term Na, Ra, Ya, Na was conceived of by Lord Hari. Day and night chanting this name, we now become purified and we do not know any other better way to please our dear Lord. Very nice. We'll move ahead to the next verse. Today's final verse, this is Srila Sridhar Swaminah Shikharini. Srila Sridhar Swami has again composed a verse in the same meter, Shikharini meter. And Srila Sridhar Swami is asking a question to all of us. First, let's sing the verse in the meter. It is a slightly difficult meter to sing. I will sing it. Those of you who can sing with me, please sing along with me. Sada sarvatrastenanu vimalam adyam tavapadam Tadhapyekam stokam nahi bhavataropatramabhinam
Charanam jivagrasam tavatu bhagavannam nikhilam damulam samsaram kashati katarase vyamanayo.
So one time a particular Mayavadi sannyasi came to Sridhar Swami and said, Sridhar Swami, you also have taken sannyas in our Adi Shankaracharya Sampradaya, Mayavad Sampradaya. Why are you chanting these names of Lord Narasimha Dev and you say he is your beloved deity? Are the Supreme Lord is present everywhere around us in the form of Brahma. Sarvam khalvidam Brahma. There is no place in the world where Brahman is not present. Why don't you worship that Brahman instead of falsely chanting this name sentimentally like a devotee? So Sridhar Swami first day did not say anything. Next day also he was challenged, he did not say anything. After few days Sridhar Swami said, now I have to give a reply. So next time when that Mayavadi came and asked him again, Sridhar Swami looked at his deity of Lord Narasimha Dev and uttered this verse as if he is speaking to Lord Narasimha Dev. So Sridhar Swami says to his beloved Lord Narasimha Dev, Sada Sarvatra Aste Nanu. O Narasimha Dev, Nanu, question, Sada Sarvatra Aste, is everywhere at all times your Brahman feature, your impersonal Brahman feature, not present everywhere? It's a rhetorical question. Yes, you are present everywhere in your impersonal Brahman feature. Yes. But Sridhar Swami says, Tathapi ekam stokam. Still, even a single leaf from the tree of material existence, na abhinat, was never broken. So many people are still undergoing material existence. Their material existence does not stop simply because you are omnipresent, O dear Lord Narasimha Dev. If your omnipresence would have helped them become free from birth and death, and then simply by your omnipresence, the tree of their material existence should have been shattered by now. But dear Lord Narasimha Dev, the fact is that your impersonal Brahman is utterly incapable of plucking a single leaf from that tree of material existence. But, kshanam jivvagrastham, but even for a moment, jivvagrastham, at the tip of the tongue, Tavatu Bhagavan Nama, O dear Lord, if your name is voluntarily taken by that living entity, then what does it do? Nikhilam, Samulam Samsaram Kashati. Along with its roots, the tree of samsar or material existence is Kashati. This holy name chops down that tree. Down to its very roots, this tree is chopped down by the holy name. Sridhar Swami ends up asking a rhetorical question again. Katarat Sevyam Anayo. Anayo, amongst these two, your impersonal Brahman and your holy name, tell us, Lord Narasimha Dev, whom should we serve? Should we serve the impersonal Brahman, which has never helped us break a single leaf from the tree of material existence? Or should we serve the holy name, which on chanting even once destroys the tree down to its very root? Tell us, Lord Narasimha Dev. So by asking a question to Lord Narasimha Dev in this manner, Sridhar Swami gave a perfect reply to the Mayavadi impersonalist who was troubling him. So dear devotees, we should understand that in our previous class also, I was trying to say this point. Lord Brahma, this was about Krishna's Janma Leela. When Mother Bhumi went to Lord Brahma, Lord Brahma, he could have kept himself in Satyaloka, in his residence, and prayed to Lord Vishnu from the comfort of his residence. But Lord Brahma took effort to walk to the shore of the Milk Ocean. And Lord Brahma, going to the shore of the Milk Ocean, he prayed to Lord Vishnu. And our dear poet Hari Suri was saying at that time, we should learn from Lord Brahma. We should stop this culture of praying to the Lord anywhere and everywhere in the air, although He is present everywhere, we should not try to pray in the air. If we want something from Him, we should approach His home, knock on the door of His home. Knocking on the door, we should go inside and humbly in front of the deity of the Lord, we should chant his names, please him, and then we should try to serve him. So there is no serving the impersonal Brahman. Service can only be accepted by the personal, supreme personality of God. Alright, dear devotees, this ends our sequence of verses here. Tomorrow I will bring some new verses for all of us drunkards. So, this was verse number 28. In Padyavali, there are almost 400 verses. So, we have barely scratched the surface of our Padyavali. But as many as are possible in my current visit, I will try to share with you. If you want to buy any of the paintings, the price you know you have to pay. The price you have to pay is you have to memorize the verse. So, dear devotees, I hope that I will be able to sell some paintings to some of you this time. So, please don't let me go back with all these paintings. Please purchase some of these paintings from me. Right. Thank you, dear devotees, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Hare Krishna. So, Prabhuji, I had one question regarding the point you were making in the beginning of the class regarding Prapanchita Vaikuntha. So, I remember reading, I may be wrong, but I remember reading Srila Bhagavatam in the fourth canto or maybe in the fifth canto that when Brahmaji leaves his body, at that time, the residents of Brahmalok and the Dhruvalok, the Vaikuntha planet, they all go to the spiritual world.
Yeah. So, in Prabhuji's question is that he has read in Srimad Bhagavatam that when Brahma, the residents of planet of Lord Brahma and residents of planet of Lord of Dhruva Maharaj, when the universe ends, they all go back home, back to Godhead. So only if they have developed prem, if all the residents have not developed prem, those who have don't have Bhagavat prem, there is no point in them going back home, back to Godhead.
So some of them by associating with Bhagavan, the Prapanchik Vaikuntha and other devotees, they perfect
their life. They perfect their life and then they may have to take one more birth before going back home, back to Godhead. Or if they perfect their life, if they develop prem in that Vaikuntha associating with those devotees itself, then from there also, at the destruction of the universe, they can go. But for a devotee, now everything is auspicious. Now there is nothing inauspicious. Even if they take a birth, Krishna is protecting them. Ma Vasudeva Bhaktanam Ashubham Vidyate Kvachit Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi Bhayam Vapyupajayate. This is a verse from Vishnu Sahasranam. At the very end, this verse is quoted. Ma Vasudeva Bhaktanam Ashubham. There is no Ashubh or inauspiciousness at any point of time for devotees of Lord Vasudeva. Ashubham Vidyate Kvachit. There is no inauspiciousness. Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi. Even birth, old age, death and disease. Bhayam Vapi Upajayate. They don't fear these four. Because nothing can come in the way of their love of Lord Vasudev now. Not even death can come in the way of their love for Lord Vasudev. So if anybody has any other questions or comments, you can please ask.
Hare Krishna. I have a few questions. First of all, thank you so much for your such a beautiful class. And my voice is echoing. Am I audible, Prabhu?
Yeah, you are audible. If you could speak slightly louder, I will be able to hear more clearly.
Okay. Okay, Prabhu. So, thank you so much for your such a beautiful class, another session. Wonderful. I have a question. Maybe I missed it. That's why I want to clarify. It's in the verse 11. If you can just tell the word-by-word meaning of Spihita. Kalinda, I know that Yamuna you referred to, but Spihita, Shaila, Tanya, Tireshu, Vikridato. If you can explain the meaning.
This is a single compound word. Spihita, Kalinda, Shaila, Tanya, Tireshu. So you are asking about verse number 11. On verse number 11, third line. Kintu means however, Tireshu on the banks of What are the, how are the banks? The banks are sweet, wide. Whose banks?
Okay.
Kalinda Shaila Tanaya. Tanaya means daughter of Kalinda Shaila, of the mountain named Kalinda. So Yamuna arises from this Kalinda mountain. So therefore, whichever mountain the river arises from, that mountain also becomes the father of that particular river. So yeah, so this Kalinda Shaila means mountain. Kalinda is the name. And Kalinda Shaila Tanaya, his daughter is Yamuna, Tasya Tireshu, on her banks. And how are her banks? They are sweet, they are very wide. So this is the breakdown of that particular term, Mataji.
Thank you, Prabhuji. And this Vikridato means?
Vikridato means he is currently playing. This particular term is indicating present tense, which means that he was not playing in the past. He is also playing currently in the present. So one who is playing currently in the present, that Govinda, the bhajan of that Govinda, even the slight trace of a beginning of bhajan of Lord Govinda will prevent Kamadev, Cupid, completely in one's life. And other means will not work. That has been given in the first two lines.
Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhuji. And last question, in the verse number 17, the second line you said about Narayana Padama. So what is Padam here means? Narayana, I got it, the four syllables, Narayana. What is Padam?
Pada means word. In English, equivalent of Pada is word. So the word or the term, Pada means term. So Narayana, this term. Pada means term. Yeah, that is the meaning of
Padam. Also means lotus feet?
Yeah, Pada means lotus feet. Pada can also mean poetry. Pada can mean can mean destination. Pada can mean term. So this is this meaning of Pada is used in grammatical circles. So Pada means term.
Yes, thank you, Prabhuji. And does this word Narayana also have a specific meaning as such, or it's just...
Does Narayana have a particular meaning? So, Srila Jiva Goswami has given an explanation of the term Narayana in his Bhagavad Sandarbha. So, if we read Bhagavad Sandarbha, we will find what is the meaning of Narayana. Narajata Narah. Since all living entities are born from Nara, the original Purusha, in this material world, when the Purusha breathes out, all the living entities are again populated in the various universes. So, since all the living entities arise from the breathing of Lord Narayan or from the body of Lord Narayan, so they are known as Narat Jataha. From the Nara, they are born. Therefore, they are known as Naraha. And Naranam, or for all the living entities, he is Ayan, or he is the shelter. So Naranam Ayanam iti Narayanam. So he is the shelter for all the Nara. Nara means those who are born from Nara. Nara means the original Purusha. Since they are all born from Nara, the living entities are known as Nara. And he is the Ayan, or the ultimate shelter of all the Naras, or all the Jivas. Therefore, he is known as Nara Ayana, Nara Ayana, Narayana. That is the explanation given by Srila Jiva Goswami in his Bhagavad Sandarbha. So this explanation is also given by various previous acharyas, but Srila Jiva Goswami has quoted this explanation in his Bhagavad Sandarbha.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for being indebted to you for such a beautiful explanation. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. There is also a question asked in the comment. When it is said that the Guru remains until all his disciples return to Godhead, what does that mean actually? So it is said, there are statements by Srila Prabhupada that the Guru stays in the material world as long as all his disciples return to Godhead. So my Shiksha Guru, Sri Srimad Gaur Govind Maharaj, used to explain the fact that Guru means Guru is in two features. One is known as Samashti Guru, one is known as Vyashti Guru. Samashti Guru means Guru in principle. Guru in principle means Nityanand Prabhu. That is known as Samashti Guru. Guru in principle. And Vyashti Guru means Guru as an individual. So, whom we see as our Guru Maharaj right now, he is Vyashti Guru or he is individual Guru. And the Guru, some totality of Gurus or the Guru as a principle is known as Samashti Guru. That is Nityanand Prabhu. So Samashti Guru is Nityanand Prabhu or Balaram and Vyashti Guru is our individual Guru. So my Shiksha Guru, Sri Srimad Gaur Govind Maharaj explained this by saying that the Guru may go back home, back to Godhead, even though the disciple may be there in the material world, but the Samashti Guru or Nityanand Prabhu will appoint some other Vyashti Guru, bona fide Guru, to take care of that particular disciple. So this is what explanation was given by my Shiksha Guru, Sri Srimad Gaur Govind Maharaj. So I am giving the same explanation to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. My name is Vishnu Priya and I'm calling from Baltimore. First of all, I wanted to say thank you to Adi Gadadhar Prabhu for sharing on Facebook that this seminar is happening. So I don't personally know him, but I really appreciate that you made this effort of helping other devotees relish this nectar. It has been wonderful. I was also on call yesterday. And after the session finished, I was just going through different verses of Padyavali because we were skipping them. So I thought I'll just read through. And there is this particular one, number 8. Anuchittam uchittam va karma yo yam vibhago. And it is so confusing for me. I'm just going to quickly read the translation. It says, what is the difference between good and bad deeds? Let there be only firm devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Although the king of... This is where my confusion is. Although the king of snakes give poison and the moon gives sweet nectar, Lord Shiva does not see any difference between them. So it's a little bewildering to mind, especially in modern days where, you know, we constantly talk about, okay, let us not focus. Everybody has good and bad in them. Let's not focus on the bad and just focus on the good. As one of the aspiring devotees, you know. Then, but then here, you know, Lord Shiva is the greatest devotee and he does not see. So is this focusing the verse of Bhagavad Gita where the devotee is Samadarshi?
Yeah, I will explain the verse quickly so that it will be very nice. We are now, it's a good opportunity for me to speak that verse again. So, if I am recollecting from my memory, the verse is as follows. It's in the meter Malini. Anuchitam uchitam va karma koyam vibhago bhagavati paramastam bhakti yoga dradhiya kirati vishamahindra Sandrapi Yushamindur Dvayamapi Samahesho Nirvishesham Bibharti. I think this is the verse which you are speaking about.
Yes.
And this particular verse says, the author says, Anuchitam Uchitam Va Karma. In the Vedas, there are so many karma or there are so many prescriptions given. This karma is Uchit, this karma is Anuchit. Every day we should follow this karma. This is what is uchit, prescribed for us in Shastra. This is anuchit. We should not do this. Now, throughout our life, if we keep doing this Vedic karma, uchit and anuchit, appropriate and inappropriate, the author becomes frustrated. And he says, I think Vishnu Puripad is the author. He says, karma koyam vibhago. What is this division of anuchit and appropriate and inappropriate? I have had enough of this now. Throughout my life, I tried to follow this as a Ved Pathi Brahman. What did I get in return? Koyam vibhago. Why this division? Let's forget both these divisions. Bhagavati Param Astam. Astam. Let there be Bhakti Yoga Dradiyan. Dradiyan. Drade means very strong. Bhakti Yoga in Bhagavati, in that Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now I want to forget about these artificial divisions of good and bad karma. Why? Because once I have taken to Bhakti Yoga towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Personality of Godhead will look upon all these anuchit and uchit karmas of the devotee with a like-minded vision. Krishna does not consider, oh Baba, he is performing uchit Vaidik karma, he is performing anuchit Vaidik karma. He is my devotee, he is. Let me give you an example of uchit karma. Uchit karma means devotee every day getting up and doing snan, taking a bath. Now taking a bath is nitya karma. It is daily prescribed activity according to the Vedas. It is uchit karma. It is karma which should be done. Then there is some anuchit karma. Let's say, what is anuchit karma? Somebody who is born in a low family, not born in a Brahmana family, becomes a Vaishnava and the Guru gives him Shaligram Shila to worship. Now, according to the Vedas, they should not be given Shaligram Shila. Because according to the strict smartha rules of Vedas, they should not be given Shaligram Shila to worship. Why? Because by birth they are not qualified. So Vedas will say this is anuchit karma. But author says forget this uchit and these divisions, artificial divisions of uchit and anuchit. Let there be firm devotion unto the Supreme Personality of God. He is very like minded, he is equanimous. He has equanimity when it comes to his devotee's case. In Bhagavad Gita also he says, Api chet suduracharo. Suduracharo means even the most heinous act is committed. Forget about small acts, small bad activities. Even the most heinous act is committed by my devotee. Bhajate mam ananya bhakti. He is my one-pointed devotee. I consider him sadhu, Krishna says. So he gives the example of the nature of Lord Shiva by drawing a parallel with Lord Shiva. He says, just as Lord Shiva, Kirati Visham Ahindraha. There is Vasuki around his neck and Vasuki constantly throws out the most deadliest of poisons. And on his head is the moon which constantly emits the best of nectar. So there is Vasuki around him and there is moon around him. Both are around him. Dvayam api samahesho nirvishesham vibharti. But he continues to equally wear both of them with equal delight. Does not distinguish between Vasuki and the moon. So in this way the Supreme Lord stops distinguishing between the so-called uchit and anuchit, prescribed and not prescribed activities of the devotee. As long as there is drid bhakti yoga, extreme favorability and devotional service towards the Supreme Lord in the heart of that particular devotee. This is the understanding of the verse.
Similar to Bhakti Apushyadi
Kevala.
Thank you, Prabhuji. That was wonderful explanation, much needed.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, I had like about three questions. So the first question was about, I think this was verse number 11. Why specifically Chittodbhava? Is this Chittodbhava that is translated as Cupid?
Yes.
So, I mean, like, would the author specifically translated to Cupid? Because anything that is arising from Chitta should be Chittodbhava, right? So is there any reason? Because we don't see karma or any other word in that entire verse.
Yeah, we don't see any other thing. But when it said Chittodbhavah, the commentators have clearly explained Udbhava to be arising of karma or arising of lust within that particular context. So as the commentators have explained, I have also explained it in the same way. So Chittodbhava means arising of something within the heart. Generation or, you know, springing forth is known as Udbhava. According to various dictionaries, Udbhava also means Utpatti. Utpatti means generation. So the producing of the generation of lust within the heart does not go away. This is what the commentators have explained. And because one thing is there, kashayan na cha bhojanadi niyaman. This bhojan etc. rules for eating are mainly for controlling one's lust. Because that is why people take to dietary regulations. Otherwise, not for controlling greed, not for controlling anger. Only mainly for controlling lust do people take to bhojan adi niyam or regulations of dietary regulations, sleeping regulations, etc. So the commentators have explained it according to that way.
Okay. Yeah, that's nice. Nice to connect that point of eating. Yeah. And so I just wanted some help from you regarding the usage of pada and pada, where the word pada is used, where the word pada is used in terms of context.
Pada and pada. So, see, sometimes the term pada refers to an entire poem or entire verse. Sometimes the term pada, in poetry, pada refers to an entire verse. In grammar, pada refers to a single term. And in prosody or in Chanda Shastra, pada again refers to, it can either refer to a single term or the entire poem. But pada refers to one line of that poem. It is also known as charana. So every poem, it walks on charanas or it walks on four lines. So this pada in Sanskrit poetry refers to one particular line. And just as a human being walks in various steps or padas, similarly the poetry walks in four steps. So that is why pada refers to one of the lines of the poetry. For example, we were singing kashayan na cha bhojanadi niyaman. So this is the first pada or first charana of the poetry. Then Vyakhyanad Athava Muni Vrata Bharaj is the second pad. Then Kintu Svita Kalinda is the third pad. And Govindasya Padaravinda is the fourth pad. So these are four charanas or four pads according to rules, according to the definitions of Sanskrit prosody. And pad can also refer to lotus feet. And so there are this pada and pad, they have various connotations in various meanings in various different situations. Depending on the situation, we have to interpret it correctly.
So specifically talking about lotus feet, we see here it's pada ravinda, and then we also talk about Vishnu pada, namo Vishnu pada, right? Because there is a lot of mix up. Sometimes people are saying Vishnu pada, which seems to be wrong, but it appears to be pada. So how do they distinguish, especially with respect to the feet meaning?
No, this in grammar definition is given, padyate gamyate anena iti pada. One walks through this, therefore it is known as pada. And pada also has the same meaning, padyate anena iti pada. That one walks through this, therefore it is known as pada. So depending on the context, because pada and pada are basically synonyms given in Amarkosh. In Amarkosh, pada and pada are listed as synonyms of each other. So they are used interchangeably by authors of Sanskrit literature.
Okay. So they are used interchangeably in most places.
Yeah. And sometimes they use pada, sometimes they use pada, because different meters are being used, na? And because different meters, sometimes pada fits in the meter, sometimes pada fits in the meter. So accordingly they use it. But otherwise both of them are listed as synonyms of each other in the Amarkosh.
Oh, okay. Thank you for that, Prabhu. That helps.
Thank you.
Also, like very nicely you split the word Narayana with respect to the meaning of the one who is the abode of all the Naras. So, he becomes Narayana. So similarly, can you please give the split up of the meaning when it is referred as one who resides in waters? I didn't understand the split up for that. Can you help us with that?
Yeah, because when Lord Garbhodakashayi Vishnu enters into this universe, from Lord Garbhodakashayi Vishnu, all the waters of this universe are born. So Narajjataha. So all the water is born from Nara or from that Vishnu. Therefore, this water in the universe is also known as Nara. And Narah or this water, Ayanam Yasya, is whose shelter? That Lord is Narayana. Oh, this is another meaning of
Narah. Very, very nice, Prabhu. Thank you. Thank you. This was so such an enlivening session. Thank you for your association. It's so precious to all of us. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Mataji. All right. I think we will conclude today's session.
I think there was one more person.
Okay.
Pamodaki Mataji, you are unmuted.
Okay, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I don't know why Mataji is asking.
Okay, because we heard some noise, so I had muted you. Okay, thank you, Mataji. No problem.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I was on the mute, so it took a little time. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji. Very nice. Very wonderful enlightening class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. And thank you, Adigadadar Prabhuji, also for making us to hear from you. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Really Hare grateful, Prabhu.
I am very thankful to all of you for kindly attending.
It's a privilege for us. Very, very nice nectar to taste through the years. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. All right. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Vancha kalpataru
vachya.
Ananta Koti Vaishnav Vrind ki. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai Sri Padyavali Seminar ki. Jai.
Jai.
His grace Hari Parshad Prabhu ki jai.
Jai.
Jai. Jai.
Jai.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.